This is the Let's Go Win podcast with your host, J.M. Ryerson.
What is happening, you guys? I am fired up. We are going to be talking to one of the happiest people on the planet Earth, and he's got a heck of a story to talk about. I cannot wait. Dr. Ilya Gogoris is the president of the Happiness Center and is also a founding partner at the Global Institute of Thought Leadership. He is the author of the number one best-selling Amazon book, Seven Paths to Lasting Happiness, and co-authored the highly acclaimed book, Seven Keys to Navigating a Crisis, a practical guide to emotionally dealing with pandemics and other disasters. With his positive psychology background, he has helped thousands of people both in their careers and in their relationships to achieve success and better work-life balance. Dr. Ilya, good morning and welcome. How are you doing?
Good morning. I'm actually doing great. And I've had some, first of all, thank you for having me on your show. I love your energy and your passion and just your wisdom. I'm probably old enough to be your dad, but I learned a lot from you. We've already talked, and I just love what you do in making this world a better place. Because in the end, isn't that what we're here on this earth to do, all of us? To whatever sphere of influence we have, small, huge, in the middle, or whatever, is how can we leave this world better than we found it? And when we have that mindset, that's it.
Yeah, brother, and thank you for that. I agree with you. That's certainly what I'm trying to do, is just my little piece to make it a better place. But I have to ask you, because being a psychology major was one of my majors in college. Positive psychology, you're kind of ahead of its time. I mean, rewind 20 years ago, this wasn't exactly a common field. So you're one of these guys that really said, hey, we're going to take this thing and blow. How did you choose this path, brother?
You know, I was a clinical psychologist the first half of my career, private practice, loved it. You know, the first 90% of the time, I was thriving in it. You know, people on a wait list, never marketed once, as word of mouth stuff. And then I got burned out. And the signs of me getting burned out were there along the way. And I totally ignored them until I paid a big price physically. Almost, you know, I almost exited this life, actually, to get to that point. And I learned some big lessons. One of them is, like, I never want to be here again. And this was, like, back in 2004. Like, I never want to experience what I've experienced again. I'm glad to be alive, first of all. I still had young kids at home, and, you know, it wasn't my time to exit. We're all going to exit, by the way. So I don't think, you know, we should be able to talk about the transition from life to death and beyond and whatever without fear. I'm not a fear-based person at all. I mean, there's a difference between danger versus fear. Danger is real sometimes. If you see a bus coming towards you, you better get out of the way because you're most likely going to lose. But you don't want to make decisions or live life based on fear. And fear is one of those emotions that is the underneath. If you think about depression, anxiety, stress, all that stuff, what's behind all that stuff is really a fear-based way to live life, I think. And I'm on the other side. You know, I believe happiness is a choice, but it's also a skill set, meaning that if we do certain things consistently over time, we will definitely have happiness in our life. I guarantee that. But it does take work. For some people, I think it comes easier than others, but I think that's available to everybody. So having said that, what was your question again? Oh, positive psychology. You know, I just had this, when I transitioned, I go, what am I going to do with my life? I was still like in my early 40s. I'm like, what will I do? And I just had this impression to find the happiness center. And I started working. I had a good friend of mine that I had helped before who said, you know, you'd make a great executive coach. Now, back in the day, I'm like, what the hell is an executive coach? I had no idea. Like, I've coached my kids in baseball, soccer, whatever. Like, I don't know. He goes, well, your communication skills and all that stuff. And he hired me as a consultant, and I started working with executives and senior leaders, which I loved much, much easier than being a clinical psychologist, I might add. And I used to, you know, I used to say, look, to me, intuitively, it made sense. If you have happy employees are more creative, more innovative, they're better teammates, they're physically healthier. Nobody even talks about the benefits of actually being physically healthier. I mean, they have less time off from work because of, you know, illnesses and stuff. And therefore, they're more productive. And as a result, your company's more, you know, profitable and so on. So I used to preach that. And, you know, back then, this is before any of the Forbes, the Harvard studies, the, you know, all the other big studies that come, the senior leader would say, you know, Dr. Ilya, we like you. You're a really nice guy. You don't know what the hell you're talking about. I pay these people to go to work, and I go to work. And I'm like, no, you guys don't get it. But I didn't have, you know, I'm not a researcher. I didn't have the research behind me to. So I was kind of like out there in the wilderness by myself trying to preach something. Well, of course, now my life is a lot easier because we all know the benefits of happy employees or happy human beings, I should say, first. Because I look at the whole life holistically, not just the work, but the whole thing. Your work, your home, social, and so on, your relationships with people. So it just came easy to me, honestly. I just didn't have enough, you know, support initially. So I had to swim against the, you know, the flow. But it all worked out in the end. And of course, when I wrote the book about happiness and it became a number one bestseller, that really opened up a lot of the doors. That really has become my business card. I don't even have business cards, actually. It's like, you know, and I get to travel the world and speak about happiness and wellness and so on. And then, of course, the pandemic hit, which grounded everything and everyone. And in the middle of the first original lockdown, I had this, again, prompting. I listened to those promptings. I'm very connected, and I've been practicing that for 35 years. That's a skill set to hear that voice. I call it that still small voice. And whatever people call that voice, if you're a spiritual or religious person, you can say, well, it's the Holy Spirit. If you're not, it's your intuition or your higher self. I don't care what you call that voice. Listen to it. And it's one of the absolutes in life. There are very few absolute things in life. That's one of them. Every time that I've listened to that voice and then acted on it, it has always worked out. Always worked out. However, I'm not a perfect human being. A lot of times I've heard it and I've ignored it. Well, guess what happened when you ignored it? Your life gets worse. I've always paid a price when I've ignored it. And because I have the psychology background, I was always curious when I was younger. I would ask why, you know, why do I have to, you know, I trust that voice so much now. I don't ask why anymore. I just do it.
Well, I have a few questions just because you said so many, I think, really profoundly simple, but really important ideas. You said happiness is a skill set. Happiness is a choice, or at least that's how I heard it. And that's definitely something I talk about. And ultimately, aren't we all, every human being, aren't we all, isn't that what we all want, is to be happy? I think that's why that's your business card is, I think, to the core, like, that is what all human beings really want, is to be happy. So why aren't more people happy?
And, you know, I'm Greek, so the great Greek philosopher Aristotle, 2,500 years ago, said happiness is the whole purpose and meaning of life, the whole aim and end of human existence. Think about that. So it validates exactly what you're saying. And just anecdotally, when I speak, regardless of what country I'm in and whatever the topic is, I ask the audience a question. I'm like, if you were to ask any parent, regardless of religion, nationality, ethnicity, socioeconomic status, gender, whatever, what would you like for your children? What is the answer to that question? I just want them to be. And then I take them the happy, and I take the mic, and I point towards the audience, and they're all like, happy. So that is a universal thing. Aristotle was totally right. But we, as a humanity, and especially the last 2 or 3 years over COVID, we now have the highest percentage of, and this is according to the United Nations, of billions of people with a B suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder, depression, anxiety, suicidality is at an all-time high, drug abuse is at an all-time high, and, you know, the world is really struggling. And I felt that intuitively. That's why I wrote the second book about the 7 Keys to Navigating a Crisis early on. It was the first book to market about the pandemic in the middle of the pandemic. And we with my partner, it came out in May of 2020. This is like after the first lockdown. Like, I had this prompting, like, Ilya, you need to get this book out now. And so the question is, can we navigate life's challenges? Not always crisis, but challenges, while maintaining our happiness. And the answer is absolutely. But first of all, you have to become aware that, I think the world is facing multiple crises and challenges at the same time. The pandemic obviously being one of them and its after effects. Inflation right now, we're at the highest we've been in 40 years. Everything is much, much more expensive, fuel and so on. Uncertainty. We have a war in Europe, which we never thought would have a war. There's even talks about a nuclear exchange, which is insanity. Like 6 months ago, if you said, we're going to have a nuclear war potentially, you'd be like, you're watching way too many sci-fi movies. And yet we're living in a world that's very volatile and unstable. And human beings, we're very resilient. Just as, you know, we can survive one or two crises at the same time. We can survive like five or six, especially when there's no end in sight. And I share with you like three or four global events, geopolitical events and otherwise. I'm not even talking about people's personal crises, like a relationship going astray. You may be going through a divorce or having a sick child or having to take care of an elderly parent that suffers from Alzheimer's or dementia or having a financial situation that, you know, people are feeling insecure or not having enough. You know what I'm saying? We're not even counting those. So that's why people are stressed and overwhelmed and they're really struggling to find happiness. It's tough right there.
So, I can't wait. It's hard for me not to ask about your story because I'm so excited, but we're on something so important. For those, all those things happening, like you said, things outside of our control.
Exactly.
Things that are happening, you know, in Europe, you know, we're here, or you and I are here in the U.S. right now. You just got back from Greece, I believe. But, you know, we're over here. That's out of our control. What's happening for the government, for the most part, somewhat out of our control. And so I guess my question to you is, what do we do about all these things swirling around? Like for me, I don't really watch the news. That's one of the choices I make to be happier, is to not constantly be affected by some of the media. I get it. I'm informed, but I don't choose to have that always at me. That's one of
And I do the same thing, by the way, just so you know, I haven't watched the news like on television for since the pandemic started, because the news sell fear and everything is like breaking news. Da, da, da. Like, I mean, there's it overwhelms the senses. I am informed, like you say, and I go to my own sources that I feel like more independent, you know, they're not propaganda, but actual facts in global facts and so on. But it's filtered, and because I don't need that, right? It harms my soul. I know people have the TV on 24/7 and they just hear it all the time. And it's like, it's so damaging to your spirit. It's so damaging to your soul, to your mind. So like you, I've made a conscious decision to shut that down. But I'm not sticking my head in the sand either. I'm not an ostrich. Like, I'm informed, but in a way that I hear the news and I know what's going on, but I don't have to hear all the other noise. So I agree with you on that.
Yeah. So staying informed, but not conditioned, is kind of how I say it, is I don't want to be conditioned by someone else's agenda constantly.
Right.
What are some other tools, Dr. Elia, that people could do on a daily basis to just raise their level of happiness? What are some tangible things? And obviously, I want them to go get your books. I want them to go read those. But things they could do listening to this, they can literally stop once they're done and start employing certain tactics, tangible ideas to just raise their happiness on a daily basis.
Before I answer that, I have to share something with you that human beings, what we discovered when we wrote the Seven Keys to Navigating a Crisis, fall into four categories into how they respond to crisis or challenges. So first of all, you got to realize, where am I? It's self-awareness. And those four categories are the following. The first one is what we like to call the victim. And the victim is like, why is this happening to me? Like, poor me, as if it's only happening to me and not 7 billion other people. So that's number one. The second one is the critic. And the critic responds to challenging crisis, you know, just being mad, frustrated, angry. This is a silly example. It's not a political statement. It's like, let's use the mask, because masks are very controversial, especially during COVID. Elia, you should wear a mask when you, well, that's stupid. Okay, Elia, never wear a mask. What are you trying to kill me? Like, it doesn't matter which way. They just get mad. It doesn't matter which way. They're just angry. They're upset. They're frustrated. And that's their MO. The third one is what we call the bystander. Now, the bystander, mind you, a decent fellow, but they're so overwhelmed by what you just described, so many things happening that are beyond their control, that they're basically they're frozen in fear. Think about the deer with the headlights look. They just don't know what to do, so they don't do anything. So what all three of these personality types have in common, of course, is that they don't move the needle forward. They don't offer a solution, right? I get mad, I get sad, I'm like, you know, poor me, or I'm fearful. Then we get to the fourth personality type, which we like to call the navigator, which of course was the premise of the book. But in the call to action is for all of us to become navigators. Now, before I answer the original question, what do navigators do so successfully? And this is really an important point. These four personality types, it's not like, well, I'm the navigator and you're the victim. It's not like that. All four of those exist within each human being. All of us have that, right? So now, so an example, when the pandemic hit, all my speaking engagements in March of 2020, all over the world got canceled in 1 week. Everything, my work just done. And I had the deer with the headlights, look, what the heck am I going to do now? And I felt, and I had the victim mentality too. I'm like, well, I was supposed to speak in Barcelona in October of 2020. I've always wanted to go there. It's supposed to be beautiful. It didn't. It actually, the conference did happen, and I did it on Zoom. But it's not exactly the same thing as actually going to Spain, obviously. So I had the victim, and had I been critical of the government or from time to time, and the you know, the critic, absolutely, and sometimes I think legitimately so. However, if I stay mad at the government for the next 6 months and rant and rave, who am I hurting, the government or myself? Am I not robbing myself of my happiness and my health and my wellness? If I go into poor me, which is a human, you know, it's normal, do it for an hour, get it out of your system, and then pivot and become a navigator. If I'm the bystander, I'm just frozen in fear, I don't know what to do, feel the fear, it's okay, that's normal, and then pivot and become a navigator and live a great and healthy life. If you're going to be critical, do it for an hour, 2 hours, whatever, vent, get out of your system, but don't stay stuck there for months at a time. Pivot and become a navigator. Now, to go back to your question, what is it that navigators do successfully? Because I believe we're all graduates from the University of Adversity, all of us. And the older we get, the higher the degree, because we've experienced more life on this earth, right? So it's easy to be grateful. And we know that gratitude is a key component to happiness, because you cannot be grateful and depressed at the same time. Physiologically, I mean, the chemicals that are released when we're in a grateful state knock out anything else. But it's easy to be grateful when things are going well. So the question is, being graduates from the University of Adversity, can you be grateful in the midst of adversity? And the answer is absolutely you can. But you got to do certain things consistently. First and foremost, and navigators are very good at that, is practice massive self-care. And the self-care to me falls into four categories: physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. And I created a personal health assessment, 20 questions that looks at all four of those categories, which I want to make available to you and to your listeners. So when we're done, I'll send you the PDF for free. Just send it out to everybody else. It takes 2 minutes to take this assessment. And by the end, you'll know what areas. There's some areas actually you might be doing really well, which is great. Pat yourself on the back. It's a scale of 1 through 5, right? 5 is I'm hitting a home run. 4 is I'm doing it most of the time. 3 is I'm doing it sometimes. By the way, a score of 3 is not a bad score. It just means you're doing sometimes, but there's room for improvement. However, if you score a 1 or a 2 in any of those 20 questions, that's a red flag, because that, I promise you, is robbing you from your health and your happiness. So pay attention. And by the way, even though I created this personal health assessment, I take it myself on the first of every month. And people are like, are you serious? I'm like, no. It's like going to the doctor and taking my pulse. On the first of every month, I'd spend 5 minutes. I take the assessment to see where am I today? And maybe physically or spiritually, I'm doing okay, but mentally and emotionally, I'm really struggling in certain areas. So this is not a one-time thing. You do it once and then you never go back again. It's an active document. It's an active, it's information gathering. It's your own personal data, right? So my call to action is, this is what navigators do very well. They invest in self-care first. The other thing, of course, is that they do listen to that still small voice. I think navigators are in tune. They're in the flow. They're connected to the greater, you know. They're flexible and adaptable. The word resiliency is a, you know, you hear resiliency a lot the last couple of years, right? Mm-hmm. how to be resilient. I mean, there's a whole like now niche market about, you know, resiliency training and all that stuff. Flexibility and adaptability is key to success. So here's the, this is the little parable analogy. We call it the oak tree versus the palm tree. So oak trees, as you know, are this magnificent, beautiful, gigantic trees, actually. They've been around for like 100 years. Majestic, right? But in a storm, if there's enough rain and enough saturation on the ground and enough wind, what happens to oak trees? They come crashing down on people, cars, homes. We see that every hurricane season. This happens all the time, right? The palm tree, on the other hand, which is kind of this beautiful, thin, exotic, tropical, cute kind of tree, at the peak of the storm, and I'm talking about the storms of life, but symbolically speaking, the palm tree will bend. And sometimes it bends parallel to the ground, like almost like flat. But when the storm passes and the sun comes out, palm tree rises up again. And it's not only is it standing, but it's actually stronger because its roots have to dig down deep underground to hold on for dear life. So as I've shared this message to thousands of people across the world, people have said, Dr. Hill, that's a cute story. I'll remember that. Be a palm tree, don't be an oak tree. But they've asked, but in real life, like on a human factor, what does an oak tree look or sound like? And I'm like, that's a great question. Here's an oak tree mentality. Well, this is the way I am. Well, this is the way I've been doing things for the last 40 years. I'm not going to change now. And they're like, they dig in their heels. But remember, even oak trees get crushed because they're not flexible. You and I have been athletes. And, you know, sports and, you know, athletics are a big part of our history and our background. If you look at any sport, whether it's football, soccer, basketball, baseball, whatever, professional, these are people that get paid millions and millions of dollars to play a game, in essence, but they're the best in the world at what they do. Before the game starts, they're out in the field for half an hour. What are they doing there before the game starts?
Warming up, limbering up, stretching.
Why?
Because you can't just go out. You'll pull something. You'll snap something if you don't.
Exactly. They're stretching. Now, we're in the game of life. We're in the Super Bowl of life, right? If we don't stretch, and our stretching is a perhaps emotional stretching or mental, physical too, I guess, to some degree, because movement is important. If we're inflexible as individuals or organizations, we will break under pressure and stress. And given what you and I just talked about, how stressed out this world is, we need to be flexible and develop. My goal is the older I get, the more flexible I want to be, the less set in my ways I want to be. I want to learn from your generation, from my kids' generation. I want to continue to be open and learn and be more and more flexible and go through life with flexibility and adjust, right? Not say, I could easily say, well, hey, this is, I'm successful. This is what I've done. I'm going to stick to my guns. No, I'm not sticking to my guns. I'm going the other direction. The older I get, the more flexible I want to be. Not more set in my ways, which is more normal, right? Well, I'm not going to change now. I mean, I've been doing, I'm like, this is who I am, taking or leaving. No, I want to change and continue to transform and grow and improve.
Well, brother, you said so many great things in that last little 5 minutes, because I had never heard the oak tree, palm tree thing. And I live in Florida, so I watch these trees. You're right. I grew up in Montana. I'm used to seeing big oaks and pines. But truth be told, you're right. It's so fascinating. So I will remember that one forever. Thank you for the personal health assessment. We'll absolutely put that into the tools. This is more of a comment, but I love what you said about we are all of these things. We are the victim. We are the critic. We are the bystander. And hopefully we are the navigator at the end of it, right? But what I heard there is give yourself some grace, a little flexibility to say, okay, you're being the victim right now. You get it out of your system. I like the way you said that, because so often the knock on positive, you know, psychology or being positive is I can't be positive all the time. And you even said it, that's okay. Get it out. And then let's move forward is kind of how I heard that. Is that the general idea, brother? Cause I love that. Cause I never try to be the victim, but the truth is, woe is me sometimes. I want to feel that. And kind of what I heard from you is that's okay. Let's get it out and then let's move forward.
You're exactly right. I mean, we're all human beings. We're all like, we have emotions. Emotions, the whole spectrum of emotions. My biggest thing is don't stay a victim for the rest of your life or for the rest of the year or even for the rest of the week, to be honest with you. Get it out of your system. Talk to somebody. Whatever you need to do to process, to have those feelings flow through you so they can exit. And then remember, pivot and become a navigator, which is, you know, navigators take action. That's the other thing about them. Meaning, listen, knowledge without application is just education, right? I can go out and read the top 10 books on happiness and highlight them and underline them to death. And then when I'm done, I put them back on the bookshelf, never to read them again. Now, my life is not any happier. As a matter of fact, I think I'm actually more frustrated because now I have more knowledge, but my life still sucks because I'm not doing anything differently. So in life, it doesn't matter what we know. What matters is what do we do with what we know? And navigators take action, right? They pivot, they take action. So the example I want to give you is when everything got canceled and I was like frozen in fear and I didn't know what to do. But I had no plans to write a book in 2020, none, because my schedule was booked. But I'm like, okay, well, I can't travel. I can't speak. I can't do my keynotes. I can't do my leadership training. I can't do anything, basically. What can I do? And all of a sudden, I had that download, write a book, get the book out. And that book came out and opened up so many more doors worldwide via Zoom. Now, I'm the least technical guy. I don't know. I mean, I know people and I know my stuff, but I don't know anything technical. I know so many keynote speakers that refused, was below their dignity, below their like what, and that's ego driven, by the way. Well, I'm not going to speak on this camera here. I'm a keynote speaker. I'm a big shot. I need the big audience to make the big money, and refuse to pivot and become navigators. I went the other direction. I'm like, I don't really know Zoom, but hey, would you believe that during the pandemic, I spoke in front of like 40 to 50,000 people on Zoom worldwide, and my audience grew, I don't even know, 10 times. I don't know what it was. Why? Because I chose to be flexible and try something that was outside my comfort zone. Like I said, I mean, talking to the cameras, I'm a people person. I like live events. That's my jam, right? But that wasn't available. I didn't have any choice. I could have sat home and cried to sleep and become a victim for 3 years or get out of my system once I finally recovered and do something different. Get the book out and start giving all these talks. You know what I'm saying? That's a navigator. They think outside of the box, like, okay, I go down this road, doors close. I go down that road, the government closes the door. I can go. What can I do then? We need to ask that question, what can I do when we don't get what we want to do initially?
Well, you clearly are a navigator because, I mean, the date in my head was March 20th of 2020. That's when the world really shut down. And you said your book came out May 2020. I mean, we're talking less than 2 months. That is remarkable, brother. That true.
You know why, though? Because the download was, Ilya, you need to get a book out in 45 days because the world needs it. And mind you, my happiness book, the best-selling book, took me 4 years to write. So I kind of look like towards this guy. I'm like, are you serious? How am I going to get it? That's ridiculous. Nobody. So I called my best friend and writing partner. And I said, brother, I'm going to start writing tomorrow about the pandemic. I can't do it by myself. I need your help. Are you in or are you out? And he said, I'm in. And literally for 45 days, we did nothing. Morning, noon, and night, we wrote. We divided and conquered. He wrote some stuff. I wrote some stuff. We'd come together every night on Zoom, 10 o'clock at night, and kind of go over the stuff. And we got it out in May, maybe not 45. It was like 50 days for the ebook and maybe 60 days for the whole. But it's remarkable. Like the sky's the, like, I had no idea that you can get a book out that quickly.
I didn't either, but it tells me we are capable of far more than we give ourselves credit for. That there's another lesson I'm learning from Dr. Ilya on not only happiness, but how to really get moving. All right. I got to get to this, man, because when we first got off camera, you're like, JM, something magical happened. There's something you said, I don't know many things that can surprise and shock and just make awe for someone my age. And it happened. I got to know what happened, man, because I've been trying to not. Just got to know.
So this literally happened yesterday, 24 hours ago. So I had two Zoom calls, you know, back to back, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock in the morning. The first one was with a good friend of mine that his name is Rajiv Daswani. He lives in Dubai. Fantastic human being. had a, you know, I had his own company that, you know, worked in the oil industry, CEO of a company, very successful and so on. And a few years ago, he transitioned over. He created the Happiness Center. Like, I have one in the United States. He has one in, and he and I both spoke at the International Happiness Conference in 2020. Like, that's where we met. Anyway, just an incredible human being. He finally creates the space, and he's actually showing me with his, you know, here's the Happiness Center. He says, you can come here anytime. You can do your programs. He has all my whatever I do on his website. And he says, the doors are open. Anytime you want to come here, just do coaching, whatever. I would love to have you and so on. Anyway, we had a great conversation, bonded. So when we get off the phone, before my next, I sent him an email. I said, great to see you. Give my love to your family, your beautiful family, son. And I'm coming to Dubai in 2023. And then I wrote, I'm manifesting it with an exclamation point, tongue in cheek. Like, I don't have any gigs in Dubai, but I'm like, I just put it out there. I'm like, I just, because I've always wanted to go to Dubai and speak and all that. End of story. And he says, great. Next call. I'm with my partner, my European partner, and he's introduced me to his business partner. So, you know, and his business partner's expertise is he takes content and is able to sell it. Like, I have a lot of great content. I'm not always the best at knowing how to sell stuff. So anyway, my partner, Pascal, he's in the middle of the screen. He and the other guy, we're talking, we're bonding, we're connecting. Just had a great conversation. I can see Pascal go, I wanted you guys to connect, make sure that there's alignment and so on. We get to the end of the phone call. And he says, and Pascal and I have a program called Health, Happiness, and Hospitality. Because the hospitality industry has been decimated, as you know. They're short-staffed. Lost so much money over the last 2 or 3 years because everything shut down. Anyway, they're hurting big time. So we have a program for that. His partner says to me, you know, the next 4 or 5 months, we're going to do some training at the Hilton in Athens. And I'm like, Athens, Greece? He goes, yeah. I said, well, I definitely need to be there. Obviously, I speak Greek. I can translate. I'm kind of joking with him. Like, yeah, we'd love to have you. And then he says to me, 5 minutes before the hour, he says, you know, after listening to you and kind of getting what you do and your keynotes and so on, he says, are you available January 16th through the 18th, 2023, coming up? I'm like, yeah, I do my own schedule. I'm available. What do you have in mind? And he says to me, I want you to come and be a keynote in Dubai. Now, so of course, my hair went up like this. I'm like, where did you say? He goes, Dubai. Now, I'm like, are you serious? He goes, yeah, we had a big conference, like the Emirates will be there, the Princess, this and that, big company, so on. I'm like, well, you're not going to believe this, but an hour ago, I sent an email to Rajiv that says, and I said, you won't believe it, so I have to forward the email to you because nobody will believe that I put it out there an hour ago in an actual email, and I said, I'm manifesting it. Of course, I kind of did it like tongue-in-cheek. I want to go to Dubai. And then in a different Zoom call, somebody else who's in Europe invites me to speak in Dubai at the beginning of 2023. Like, I've never experienced anything like that. I've manifested a lot of things in my life, but never in such a unique, within an hour. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, I don't believe in myself. And yet it happened.
I mean, look, my wife and I believe in manifesting. We talk about it openly all the time. I will say that's maybe the fastest I've ever heard of. I mean, that is like, that's not even an hour, brother. That is boom, boom. But you know,
he could have said, you know, I have a keynote in Germany or, you know, but it was Dubai. It was the same place that I just wrote it down an hour ago.
Look, the world is made of energy, whether people want to believe that scientifically or, you know, woo woo. It is. You put it out there. People energetically, they feel that, which, by the way, getting back to happiness, I mean, energy sources of energy do increase our happiness, do they not? Finding, grounding ourselves back into Mother Nature, that is, can get us back. Finding things that really reinvigorate our energy. For me, it's going to the gym or hiking a mountain or fly fishing. Like, these are things that increase my happiness. So I believe in all that, what, you know, manifesting and energy. But there's science that backs this as well, correct?
There is. And you know, one other thing that I wanted to share, first of all, nature to me is God. I mean, when I'm in nature, I'm so connected. I mean, and I go for a daily walk every day for 3 to 5 miles a day, every day, no matter what. And that started happening in the middle of the pandemic, by the way. I don't always take my phone with me. And I call it my gratitude walk. I do it every morning, typically. And I look at the blue skies and I listen to the birds singing and I look at the trees and the green and I love nature. And I'm like the little rabbits running around and squirrels or whatever. And I focus on, man, I'm so grateful to live in this great country. I'm so grateful to be like in this great place. Like I never take it for granted. We live in such a beautiful world. But navigators do one other thing. They have a positive attitude. They believe in a positive outcome no matter what. Meaning that, yes, as you are, we got our butts kicked for the last 2 or 3 years as humanity. There's no question about it. Myself included, you too. We all got our, you know, we paid a price for it. However, these two shall pass. I guess that's the mentality. Like, no matter what happens, these two shall pass. And if we are able to navigate correctly and do some of the things that we talked about earlier, be flexible, be adaptable, listen to that still small voice, practice great self-care, take action, then not only do we survive a crisis, but we can thrive through it. And this is passing. Has it been hard? Yes, it's been hard. But we can listen. Nelson Mandela said something very wise. I mean, he said a lot of things that are wise. But one of my favorite quotes of his is this. He said, in life, either you win or you learn. In other words, there's no losing as long as I learn. If I learn something, and I've learned so much from the pandemic, and you know, people have said, Dr. Ilya, what's your biggest takeaway from the last 2 or 3 years? I'm like, well, that's simple. Do not procrastinate your happiness. That's my biggest takeaway. Meaning, don't wait for when. We live in the when. You know, when I have the right job, when I make enough money, when I get married, when I have a family, when I have kids, when the kids grow up, when I retire, you know, when I'm able to travel, when, forget all the whens. The great thing about the pandemic is like, there are no guarantees any one of us will be alive next month. So as a result of that, live your best life now, exactly where you are. Don't live in the future. Live in the present. Be grateful for the present. Even the struggles, as long as you can learn something. And that's why I love what Nelson Mandela said, because obviously if we don't learn from them, then we're going to suffer big time and we're going to be in the victim mode a lot longer. But if I can learn something, I can shift from victim to a navigator and then take action in a different way.
Yeah, one of the most historical examples of not being a victim, he could have, and everyone would understand, and I have so many fascinating stories that he has done. So I love that you quoted him. He's someone I look up to and someone that I aspire to be mentally wise, right? I want to ask you, speaking of mental, so much of what is happening, the really happy times, the really crappy times, we are creating in between these 6 inches in our brains. Are we not? It's in our heads and it is a choice. My question, what I'm seeking is, how can people get out of their heads to create some more positive? Because so often the negative, all this stuff, we have self-created. And what I try to get people to do is stop, get out of your own head, write this stuff down, get it, make it real so that then you can make a choice to be happy. Do you have any thoughts behind that, Dr. Ilya?
I totally do. I was going to bring that up anyway, and you beat me to it. It's almost like you read my mind, because what I'm going to share with you, I was planning on sharing it anyway, whether you asked me this or not. Most people, whether it's leaders or whatever, you talk about what is their mindset? What's the mindset? I've shifted, and that's happened really the last 2 or 3 years, to where's your heart set? I don't even know if that's a word necessarily. Mindset is a phrase, obviously, but what is your heart set? Because if you listen to your heart and you have to get quiet, and being out in nature, by the way, helps a lot. When I say live your best life now and don't procrastinate your happiness, that's not going to come from your head. It's going to come from your heart. Where's your heart set? What does your heart want? Listen to your heart. And then create the life that you've always wanted to live. Listen to your heart. Because I don't know who said that, but the greatest distance in the universe is between your brain and your heart. People are disconnected, like at the neck. Like we're disconnected. And I'm like, no, we need to connect to our heart. My heart is like, I want to live, you know, 6 months in Greece, Europe, and 6 months in the United States. That's always been my dream. And I'm manifesting that right now. It hasn't been an easy transition, but I've thought about it. But before thinking about the how-to, I have to say the why. and the white key from my heart. And now it's happening. I'm going back, you know, next couple of months, I'll be in Greece again in Europe and working there, not just necessarily playing all the time, although I do play, but, you know, working, because there's always business and pleasure to me are, you know, they're connected. And if you do something you really enjoy doing, you're never truly working. So listen to your heart. And then I love writing things down, like you write it down. What it, when you meditate or practice mindfulness, you know, whatever, you pray, however you communicate in with your higher self or your God or the universe, whatever, write things down. When you get those promptings, you know, my prompting to write that book came loud and clear. And the 45 days was a little intimidating, to be honest with you. I'm like, what the heck? There's no way. But it did happen, though. Obviously, I needed help. I couldn't do it by myself. You know, so you got to be flexible with that. I could have said, well, I'm 45, I got all the responsibilities on me. No, sometimes you got to ask for help. It's okay to ask for help. And people are willing to help you, believe it or not. Right? And I don't know. I mean, to me, that's one thing. And the other thing is like learn how to communicate what I call hot communication, H-O-T. Honest, open, and transparent. And again, these are even relatively new things for me. Like I've been practicing this for the last couple of years in every relationship that I have, from my wife to my kids to my clients and so on. I'm practicing hot communication, but hopefully do it from a place of love. Because you can practice hot communication and let me give you some constructive criticism and then take a 2x4 and hit somebody over the head in the name of honesty and openness and transparency. That's pretty destructive. First of all, there's nothing constructive about it. There's no constructive criticism or whatever. Is that the term? Let me use some constructive.
That's the term, but
that's an oxymoron, though. There's nothing constructive about criticizing somebody. Nobody ever got better in the history of the world. If I get criticized enough, I need more criticism, then fine, I'm going to get it. Nobody gets that. I know it's ridiculous to think about that way, but offering constructive criticism is an oxymoron. If you do it, you're a moron. That's part of the word, actually. You know, I'm kind of half kidding. Feedback, on the other hand, is different. And if you can give somebody feedback by practicing hot communication and do it from a place of love, most people are very receptive to that. And I teach that to corporations and leaders. And when you get feedback, ask for more. Don't get defensive. Don't say no. Tell me more. Because we all have like blind spots. The most enlightened human, they all have blind spots. Everybody has a blind spot. If somebody can see something that I can't see and tells me and comes from a kind and loving place, then I'm capable of changing it. How can I change something I don't know I have to change? Right? We go back to awareness again. So if you see something that that can help me, please tell me. But if you can do it from a place of love, that'd be easier, better, more receptive, you know?
Well, no doubt about it. And, you know, I like the hot communication because, again, if you're being honest, if you're being open, you're being transparent, that allows you, which I talk a lot about, to be your best self, to be you. Otherwise, not being honest, what's the opposite of that? Being untruthful, lying, like that, nothing good is coming from that. Dr.
Ilya, that applies to ourselves. Like when I say practice hot communication, that like the internal dialogue, like let's be honest and open and transparent within ourselves. And it's okay to ask for feedback. That's when I go, are you seeing something I'm not seeing? Because it seems like I keep stumbling in the same area over and over and over again. What am I doing that's, you know, because I can't see it. If I could, I would have fixed it, but I don't know how to fix something if I don't know what to fix. But if you can see something that I can't see, please tell me.
Yeah, man, I love your work. I love the fact that you wrote a book in 45 days. I'm still baffled by that. I love that you've manifested. All the people in Dubai are going to be so fortunate to see you in January 2023. Dr. Ilya, where can people connect with you online if they want to just know more about what you're doing, whether that's in Europe, that's in the States? Obviously, we are a global community now. So where can they connect with you?
Just LinkedIn is the best way, and or my website, drilyagurgurs.com. That's it. Those two places are probably the best.
Awesome. Brother, I appreciate you sharing so much of what your experiences are. It shocked me when you said you almost exited the earth because you're in great shape. So clearly you made a choice. You're so much in a better place than I guess you were back in 03, 04, and now you're studying happiness. You're going to be with us for a long time, my brother.
You know, I hope so. But, you know, I lost my parents young, so I don't have longevity in my genes from that. You know, that's part of the downside, the tragic stuff that happened. And, you know, my mom died when she was 51 to cancer, and my dad, you know, brokenhearted, you know, he didn't live too much longer after that. So and because of that, I've always felt an urgency, like I got to live my best life now. Like I'm not waiting until I retire to do that. That's part of the reason, actually. And death has actually shaped me. And my mom was this amazing, amazing, beautiful woman inside and out, beloved by both men and women. She was just an extraordinary human being whose parting words to me, these are the last things she said to me, is like when she was dying, like literally physically dying, she said, "Ilya, don't worry about me. I'm going to be just fine. I just want you to be happy." That was her last words to me.
Well, you're fulfilling what she requested of you, and you're helping so many others to do the same. And that's pretty amazing. Thank you. And I appreciate you. I love having you in my life, and I'm so glad we're able to share you with the audience.
Thank you for having me. I love your energy and your passion. You have such great things ahead of you, my friend, and you have such clean energy. Like I said, I don't know anything about technical stuff, but I read people like a book. The first time you and I met and I looked into your eyes, and I know that you were going through a difficult time also in your personal with, you know, your own dealing with death, right? And still, in the midst of your pain, I saw such brightness of, there's so much light in your eyes. And you're such a beautiful man, and you have a beautiful family. And I wish you nothing but success. And I hope that this continues. You and I need to stay in each other's lives because, you know, sometimes you do interviews and they're nice, and you do podcasts, whatever, and then you never, you know, you and I need to stay connected.
Well, no doubt about it. Look, I love Greece, so I'm going to come visit you there. I love what you're talking about and what your profession. So there's no doubt about it. I feel blessed to have you in my life and so blessed that you shared with the audience. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
You guys, look, everybody wants to be happy. I will not try to recreate what he said about Aristotle's quote. Go look that up. But that is the meaning of life. We all want to be happy. This is such a good episode. Replay it. Share it with anyone and everyone. Everyone needs a bit more happiness in their life. And I'm so grateful to have Dr. Ilya with us. Until next time, remember, show up as you, that authentic self. That's what the world deserves, as do you. I will talk to you soon. Thank you so much for listening. If this content is delivering value to you, please make sure to subscribe, rate, and review us. That helps us build this community, and that is what we are all about. Building this community as big as we can, helping as many people as we can, and deliver as much value as possible. Be sure to head over to letsgowinpodcast.com for information on my coaching courses, and make sure to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn at Let's Go Win 365. Let's go win and transcend in life.
This is the Let's Go Win podcast with your host, J.M. Ryerson.